You know, one of the few good memories of my childhood were those summers at Nai Nai's. They had that garden. Yeah, yeah, and I would catch dragonflies. And then we just moved to the States. Everything was different. Everyone was gone. It was just the three of us.
I know it was hard. It was hard for us too.
Hey, it's 2 hours per hour.
The podcast where we talk about 2 hours worth of movie in 1 hour's worth of podcasts. My name is Eliza Chin.
And I'm Brian Liu.
And you're listening to 2 hours per hour, the podcast where we talk about 2 hours worth of movie in 1 hour's worth of podcasts. Brian is very tired today. And why is that?
Because I just got back to New Zealand and right now I got jet lag. So I do apologize if I say anything stupid or, yeah, I don't know. I didn't sleep at all yesterday. I couldn't sleep.
That's so sad because it's only like, right now we're recording at 4 p.m. but it's really only 11 a.m. for you.
Yeah. I need to get used to it so I can go back to school.
Oof.
Sorry that we didn't publish this episode last week because of technical difficulties.
Yes. However, we may or may not put out a bonus episode as well this week.
We may or may not.
No promises. No promises. So what did we talk about the week before last? We talked about the movie
Weathering With You,
which has our worst stats so far. Has no one watched Weathering With You?
It's so sad.
Because it's not bad.
There's okay, Parasite has all-time downloads of 27. Kind of embarrassed to say this. And Marriage Story has 26. Preview, 12. And then you got Weathering With You with 10.
Surely, at the bottom. The Farewell. Ooh, look at that segue. Surely The Farewell, 30.
Surely.
Surely. Even if I have to make 30 fake accounts. Nah, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. I've never made a fake account in my life.
Have you not?
No, that's a lie, I have. But not, but not to download our podcast with.
Okay. I will believe you.
Alright, so The Farewell is a 2019 movie directed by Lulu Wang. It is an American film by a American Chinese director. And it's very interesting because the Chinese title for this film is Bie Gao Shu Ta, which does not translate to The Farewell, but directly translates to Don't Tell Her.
Yep. I thought it was interesting when I saw it.
And this movie is really interesting because it kind of straddles the line between being a Chinese film and an American film, or an English film, because both languages are used, but
Chinese is used more.
Which is fitting because a lot of the film takes place in China and then you have the subtitles to go with it. So, but it's very clearly meant for, it was very clearly created with an English speaking audience in mind. Do you reckon?
Yes, I think it's that because obviously like she's just trying to target like American Chinese, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and with that, that kind of also means Kiwi Chinese, which is what we kind of
just
are.
Like Chinese in Western countries, I suppose.
Yeah, like English-speaking Chinese people or English-speaking Asian people to an extent, because they...
Mm.
I don't know, I feel like... So we've talked about films like Parasite, which is a Korean film, and Weathering With You, which is a Japanese film. And when we talked about those movies, we were very aware that because of the languages, there were a lot of nuances that we were missing. And then with this movie, I finally feel like we can fully understand everything that went into it. Do you reckon?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely can. And I think this time, for the first time, we'll actually be able to pronounce the actor's name correctly.
Beautiful.
Yes, Anna. So do you want to tell us about the writer-director, like the writer, director, and cast?
Yeah, so Lulu Wang, she was the director. She was inspired by real life. And what I really love about this movie is at the beginning it says, inspired by a real lie or a true lie.
Based on an actual lie.
Yeah, there we go. So this was based on an actual lie because Lulu Wang's real grandmother really was diagnosed with cancer and the family really did decide not to tell her. Mm. And what's really interesting is the actress who plays Little Nai Nai, who is Nai Nai's little sister in the movie. She is Lulu Wang's real auntie in real life. So that means this actress really did lie to her sister about her medical condition in real life. So imagine how much, you know, that performance, it just adds so much more, what's the word? You know what I'm trying to say.
The feel for it?
Yeah. Is it really acting or is it just remembering?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Nai Nai's still, like, alive to this day.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, they're like, remember that last scene where she... I think she's going like, ha! 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 Yeah, and the little caption says, she's still alive 7 years after her diagnosis.
Six years.
So, mm-hmm. Yes. A little bit more about Lulu Wang. She didn't go to film school. She made really good film, though. And they had quite a short shooting schedule for this movie. It was, I think, where are my notes? I think it was, 24 days in China. In this place called Changchun, which is a big city in northeast China.
Hmm.
So that's very cool.
It's probably infected with coronavirus by now.
Oh no. Oh no. That's so sad.
Yeah, China's a bit dangerous now.
Ooh, another thing about Lulu Wang. I was listening to an interview with her that she did on a podcast. And when she made this movie, one of the things she really wanted to do was not make it broader. Because I think it was, like, producers wanted her to make it really... like, more palatable to a Western audience, do you know? And they were telling her stuff like, oh, can you add in, like, a romance in there? And and she really didn't want to make this movie into a romantic comedy because that's not the type of story she was trying to tell. And then people were telling her, oh, it doesn't make sense that Billy isn't, like, the one getting married. But in this movie, the bride and groom are forgotten in a lot of scenes because the wedding really isn't the main point of the movie. The main point of the movie is talking about the relationship with the grandmother and the relationship of an individual in a community-based culture like the Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just told you that for free. Brian, would you like to talk about the cast? Because
yep.
I don't trust myself with the pronunciation.
Okay. So, you got Awkwafina as Billy, and we love Awkwafina.
We really do. Awkwafina, she hits a little bit different.
Every time she's like in other movies, the spotlight goes to her, even though she's not the main character.
Crazy Rich Asians?
Crazy Rich Asians. And Ocean's 8. Ocean's 8, she stole scenes. And Zhao Shuzhen as Nai Nai. Oh, nailed that.
Yo, Zhao Shuzhen, she's actually... This is her first Hollywood film, but she is such a big deal in the Chinese movie industry.
She's like first grade national actor in China.
She's the A-lister.
Also, side note, Awkwafina's actual name is Nora Lum. And her Nora. Chinese name... Yeah, Nora.
Cute. That's a cute name.
And her Chinese name is Lin Jiazhen.
Oh, cute.
It's a pretty common name, but... Yeah. But Awkwafina isn't. Also... Yep. No, Awkwafina and Zhao Shuzhen is basically the main characters for this film.
You know who I think was absolutely robbed of a supporting actress nominee for the Oscars? Zhao Shuzhen. She was so good in this movie. She should have totally been nominated for best supporting actress. I looked at the list. She was fully eligible, and I don't know why she's not there.
She was really good, eh?
She was exactly like a real Asian grandma. Like, the really lovable, kind.
Oh my god, yes. The whole time I was watching her, I was like, this is like my grandma.
Yeah, she was like both my grandmas in very different ways. But I think most especially like my dad's mom.
Yes, 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 same for me. And when I watched this film, I was in Taiwan, so I was like, I was next to my grandma, and I was like, this is a bit weird, it hits too close to home.
Nai Nai is like my actual Nai Nai. Well, I call her Popo, but...
I call her Ama.
Ah, yeah. That's common too.
And let's talk about what, like, the film summary for this. Yeah. Because I feel like the audience still don't know what the fuck we're on about.
Yes. So, basically, this movie is about a grandmother, Nai Nai, who has been diagnosed with cancer. And she doesn't know that the results of... Was it her, like, CAT scan? MRI scan?
I think so.
Yeah, so...
Just some scanning thing.
Yeah, just some scan. But... Her family decides not to tell her because they want to carry the burden of knowing that she's about to die for her. And then, so you have Billy's family, Billy, her mom, and her dad, who have immigrated...
Who lives in America.
Yeah, who have immigrated to the USA ages ago before all this happened. Billy is very close with her grandmother. They call quite often. It's implied. And then... They find out, and then the whole family stages this wedding. And then they all come to China to see Nai Nai. But they all pretend they're there for the wedding. And then this whole movie is sort of asking the question, are they right not to tell her?
The question's like mentioned a lot of times in the film as well.
Yeah. And then what I really love about this movie is that it doesn't take sides. It's never saying, look how like enlightened this American family is. They know what's up. This Asian culture, they don't know what's up. They're like traditionalist and old fashioned and behind the times. But you know, this movie, how do I say it? It really shows both sides of the argument and it never takes side.
Kind of like Marriage Story, eh?
Yeah, Marriage Story. We love Marriage Story. So far, I'm rooting for Marriage Story Best Picture at the Oscars. But I'm gonna withhold that judgment for now because I haven't seen all of them.
Well. And then Ford versus Ferrari gets it?
Hmm. I'm not very interested in Ford versus Ferrari. I don't really care about cars.
I think it's all right.
Absolutely no it's interest right. in it, but I'm going to watch it and then decide.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. And the idea for this film, The Farewell, it's because, like we said, the director experienced this herself. And all the struggles that Billy had in the film were all what the director experienced before.
I think that's actually a really good jumping point into our first point, which is about Awkwafina's accent in this movie. Because she sounds...
Wait. What was your first reaction?
To the movie as a whole or Awkwafina's accent?
No, to the movie as a whole.
Oh, to the movie as a whole? I thought it was very good. I didn't cry. I was expecting to cry. But I'm very happy this movie didn't try to manipulate me emotionally. It just told what it... It just said what it had to say very truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Yeah. What were your first reactions to this?
When you first told me we should watch this movie, I was like, oh yeah. I agreed. I was like, yeah, I'll watch it, but I never realized I would like... I never thought I would like it this much.
A24 just hits a little bit different.
Apparently Lulu Wang had like a lot of trouble trying to find sponsors or producers, I think.
Oh yeah? Like she had because to fight really hard to make this film?
Yeah, because the American people don't want to produce the film because it's too Chinese, and the Chinese people don't want to produce the film because it's too American.
Scam.
I know. But A24
really knows what's up.
I love A24, man. They're so good. Okay. Oh yeah, back to Billy's accent.
It was even worse than mine is. It's even worse than Ian's accent.
Is it really?
It is.
No, I don't think so.
You reckon? Sorry, we're just fully ragging on Ian in public, but... I reckon Ian speaks Chinese much better than Billy does. So, Lulu Wang said in an interview that she wrote the script with someone that was fully bilingual in mind for the character of Billy, and she couldn't find the right actress or whatever. And then Awkwafina came along, sent in an audition tape. And Lulu Wang was like, yo, Awkwafina. But Awkwafina can't speak Chinese fluently, so she just had to learn her lines, by the sound, by the word. And she did a really good job.
Yeah, she did. It's kind of like when white actors try to, like, speak Chinese during, like, a film air.
Yeah, but Awkwafina does it way better than... I've seen other actors who don't speak Chinese do.
Mm. Yeah, she does.
And it's quite...
I was amazed at her vocabulary.
Yeah, that's what I was about to talk about, because...
Like, no way an American Chinese know how to say that word. No way.
Yeah, right? So that's, like, the only unrealistic thing. Because, of course, it's fitting that her accent... isn't quite all there because she grew up in America and English is, you know, her mother tongue, her first language, the language she grew up mm-hmm. with. And it's fitting for the character because the character is kind of a little bit of an outsider, and then everyone else in this movie has like perfect Chinese accents because they all speak Chinese fluently, and it really just shows how different Billy is in terms of like mentality to the rest of her family. But it's unrealistic in the sense that usually someone like me, who spoke English first and then kind of learned Chinese here and there from family gatherings and all that, and like a little bit of primary school, my I can do pronunciation, I can do the tones, but my vocab is real bad. Whereas Billy's character, she can't do the pronunciation, she can't do the tones, but her vocab is real good.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically it. I still think her pronunciation is better than Ian's, just saying.
This is what counts as a shout out on this podcast. Just being ragged on. Shout out to you, Ian.
If you're listening to this.
We love you, Ian.
Shout out to you.
You know what, Ian? You're a mad lad.
Yeah.
You're a mad lad. And you are mad.
But wait, Hao doesn't know how to speak Chinese. He barely spoke in the film.
Did he speak at all? Or did he just cry?
He just said like, "Xixi" or something. Oh yeah, by the way, Hao is Billy's cousin that's getting married, so they can see Nai Nai.
There are a lot of like family relations in this film, and what I love is it's really easy to tell who's related to who, just because in Chinese, you have different names for different relatives. So you say Nai Nai, and you're like, oh, okay, that's the dad's mom. You don't even have to wonder. Yes, yes. And then you, like, know where the auntie comes from, and you know where the uncle comes from, and you know where, like, the cousin comes from.
Because you have a different... We use different names for dad's side, like, grandparents from dad's side and grandparents from mom's side. So my grandparents for my dad's side is called Ama and Agong, and my mom's side is called Waigong and Waipo. What about yours, Eliza?
We do it kind of wrong. I call my dad's side Popo and Gong Gong, Gong Gong. And on my mum's side, I say Mama and Yeye. So we do it kind of wrong. But
you guys switch it up, eh?
Yeah.
It's like Popo and Gong Gong supposed to be your mum's side and vice versa.
Yeah. And also my pronunciation's kind of weird because we do it kind of like Hakka, Fu Chao as well, not Mandarin. I don't really know. It's like a big melting pot. It's not correct, but it is how it is.
Get by.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah. Also, for cousins with your surname are called Tang.
Yeah.
And like, cousins with that, that has different surnames than you, it's called Biao.
Yep. So, Ge would mean like a boy older than you, and Jie would mean a girl older than you, big sister. So if you have Tang Ge, that is an older boy cousin on your dad's side. No.
Not usually.
Wait, you explain. I'm confusing myself. I forgot how it works.
It just has to be same surname.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Because if your dad has a sister that got married and have kids, they'll have different surnames.
Oh.
But yeah, I like the Chinese relative system. It makes it so clear.
It does. If you know how it works, it's very good.
Yeah. And in Taiwan, some families take this another step further. So instead of like in not just naming these like biao ge, tang ge, these kind of stuff, in your name, like your middle name, like for each generation, there will be like a name that you use throughout.
Oh, okay. I kind of know about that one because so in Chinese culture, if you have a Chinese name, you usually have three characters to your name. So the first character will be your surname, your family name, and then the next two characters are your like given name, and usually the middle, and then usually if people are in the same family, then they get sort of one of the same character, and then the other character will be different. It's kind of similar to like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt naming their kids Knox, Maddox and Pax or something, they all end with X, or how some parents like to name their kids like with the same letter, like initial letter, like Joyce and Josephine, you know?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Similar-ish.
Or maybe think of like, let's say a family has this, like all the kids have the same middle name, like Joe, like as a middle name.
Yeah.
They all have Joe as a middle name. Kind of like that sense.
Henry Joe and
Sarah Joe.
And Stephen Joe. And then they have their last name like after that. You
know, and this is useful when it comes to like big, big family gatherings. So you know, like you can tell who's who just by listening to the name. You can tell, like you can know if they're on the same level as you or higher than you.
Yeah, in terms of generation. And you can just like
call them.
You know what some families do is they get a poem.
Yes, that's what my family does, yeah.
Yeah, so the first, let's say the first generation, all of them have a character from the first word or character in the poem. And then the next generation, the next character, and the next generation, the next. Which I think is a really cool system. I think we used to have it and then we lost it.
My dad showed me the poem. And we haven't even gone halfway through the poem yet. And my dad's generation, like middle name is Xue, means learn.
Oh yeah.
Xue.
Xue.
And my generation, Xue Xiao. And my generation is Mei, which means beauty.
Ooh.
But Mei is for girls.
Yeah, that's really feminine.
Yeah, it's like super, super feminine. And so my name is Le Ci, and if I was to use Mei as my middle one, it'll be Mei Ci, which is even more feminine.
That's
than
really, really girly of a name.
Because Ci is already kind of feminine.
Yeah.
And people always mistake me for girl. But if it's Mei Ci, it's like straight up girl. No doubt.
It's really interesting because I reckon most Chinese names, like the common ones, are pretty unisex. But then when you have stuff like poems and then like everyone has to use the same word and then the word is super feminine or super masculine, then it changes the whole way the name is read or understood.
Yeah.
Culture!
Culture lessons.
Look
I'm
at
I'm surprised
that.
You know this. I'm actually surprised you know this.
I'm surprised I know this too.
That means you're not so whitewashed after all.
Let's go.
I mean, I lived there for a while. We've been talking about names for the last 10 minutes.
But I mean, this is a movie about... Okay, yeah. This is a movie about Asian Americans. We're fully just talking about China. Oh, not just China, just Chinese.
Let's talk about Nai Nai.
Yes. What do you want to say about her?
I think I can see my own grandma's shadow on her whenever I see her in the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like how she was presented as a grandma is how every grandma is.
It really is. Do you have a bird outside your window?
I think so, yeah. Sorry about that. Oh, shut up. Oh my god. Okay, let's keep going. We won't let a bird distract us. Eliza, please keep going.
There was a bird in the movie. This is not in our notes. This is not in our schedule. I just want to quickly say there was a bird in the movie and I have no idea what it symbolizes. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
No, wait. I did take this note down. I just said there's always like a bird in Billy's room.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I didn't
Double
even search
bird.
It. But like,
what does it mean?
In Billy's New York house, home, flat, apartment, a bird got in. And when she was in China, a bird got in as well.
Ooh.
So just fun fact to say, even though we have no idea what it means.
We noticed it is, you know, that's all
but
we want
to
just put
do
it
our
out
research.
There. Of course. No, we're too busy talking about other things, like naming conventions in Chinese culture.
Hey, it's interesting. It was actually an interesting
It was.
Talk.
It's actually really interesting. We could, like, really go down a rabbit hole. Like, for example, like, surnames like Chen become Qin and Ting and Lao and Chen. But, you know, we're not going to get into that. We're going to talk about Nai Nai, who is so awesome. She's one of my favorite movie characters of all time, I think. Is that a high claim? Yes. Is she an awesome character? Yes.
Yes. Her smile cures me.
She's so sweet. Well, she's also, like, really no-nonsense. And she's really tender, but she's really strong.
She's, like, really... She's, like, a really... Yeah, she's, like, a really sweet person to people who know. But when she, like... She, like, in the scene where they were trying to organize for the wedding, and she realized that there was no lobster, but instead crabs, she was, like, having a fat girl at the service lady. And... Yeah, that's pretty much my grandma.
Yeah, same. I kept thinking of my own grandma in that scene. She's just so well written.
You know how Nai-Nai was like mad?
Yes.
After the service lady? And she was like, oh, you're doing my head hurts now. my grandma heads hurts when she's angry as well. It's so funny.
That's so funny. I love how they, I'm just going to change the subject now, but I love how they draw parallels between Nai-Nai's character and Billy's character. Like, they're at the beginning of the movie, they're both lying to each other, and they keep saying, oh, I'm fine, when they're really not.
Oh. So Billy is kind of lying to her as well.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I think she says, like, oh, I have a jacket, even though she, like, doesn't, or something like that. And then she gets that bad news about the fellowship, and then she's like, no, I'm fine, it's all good. So, big brain, there's some similarities there. What's the significance of that? I don't know.
Oh, we notice things, but we can't be fucked to do research.
That's just how it is on this podcast. 2 hours per hour. The podcast where we talk about... About?
2 hours worth of movie and 1 hour's worth of podcast. And I'm Eliza Chin.
And I'm Fran Lu. Let's go.
Okay. I like this movie because there's like a constant battle between East versus West.
Mm-hmm.
But like in between the families.
100%. Mm-hmm. There's this struggle between individualism and being part of a community. And again, this movie doesn't take sides. It just shows you how different it is and how there's two different mentalities and how as an American Chinese person, and for us, you know, Kiwi Chinese people, we kind of see both sides more clearly.
You kind of get stuck in the middle.
You really do. And you really don't know which side has got it right, because they both have it right in a lot of ways and in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I count as a Kiwi Chinese because I haven't stayed here long enough, but I think sometimes we struggle because we were brought up with like the Chinese culture beliefs and like the thinking process. But we grew up around Western stuff as well, so we kind of get confused on what we should stay true to.
100%. And then there's also the question of who do you identify as? Because for me personally, I've spent more of my life in Malaysia than I have in New Zealand. But I speak English much better than I speak Chinese or Malay. And I don't know, like, where I fit in better. I don't know if I'll ever fit perfectly into either culture. So, who am I? I don't know.
I think this episode is just going to be me and Eliza having an identity crisis.
Let's go.
It's so sad when you're Chinese and you're, like, abroad. Because it's, like... I don't know, because I feel like... Because Chinese people are everywhere. So people are just like, oh, they're immigrants. They're not, like, really from here. Even though you can be, like, born here.
Mm.
And I've seen memes about this and jokes about this. It's like, as a Chinese... Like, Westerners think I'm Chinese, but Chinese think I'm Westerners.
Yeah, 100%.
And I actually struggle with this.
Yeah? Yeah, same.
I went back to Taiwan, and whenever I say we, meaning me and people in Taiwan, they'll be like, wait, does New Zealand do this? Like, they already fully think I'm an outsider now.
Ooh. That's really tough. So...
Yeah. It's kind of funny as well.
Yeah, right? I'm going back in April, and I feel like once I go back, either by the end of the trip, I'll have been really disappointed because it wasn't, like, the homecoming that I expected, or I, like, fully just won't want to leave.
Oh, I see. Do you still have friends there?
Yes, but we kind of kept in contact. I'll probably meet up with them, but we're not super close anymore. Like, we don't really talk. Yeah, because that's just how it is.
I went
is.
Back this time. Oh, friends grow apart.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is. It doesn't keep me awake at night. It's just like when it comes up, I'm like, yeah, oh, it's a bit sad. Yeah. That's fine.
Life is just how... That it be like that sometimes.
It really do be like that sometimes. Ooh, I have a quote from Lulu Wang from her interview. And I'll just read it out really quickly. She says, "When I go back to China, I feel very foreign there. And that is something I've heard from many people who immigrate, is that when they go back to their home countries, in a way they think they're going to be embraced and completely feel like they've come home. And the disconcerting thing is when you go back there and you feel more foreign than you ever have." Lulu Wang gets it. She knows how it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely does speak to me.
It is a good quote, isn't it? I was walking to I was going to say a real like life location that would have totally just outed my like living situation. But I was walking.
She lives in
beep 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 beep.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was walking around and I was listening to a podcast and then like she said that and I like fully stopped in the middle of the street and like took out my notes app and I was like and typed it all out.
Damn. Yeah, because it's real. Like when I went back to Taiwan, it's like you know where everything is, but everything's not how you remember it to be, even though they're the same.
Yeah, I know, like, when I go back, there will have been a lot of development done as well to the place where I grew up in, my childhood home. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be different, and that's really weird.
Yeah. But it's even weird for me. Like, I go back every year, and it's like I'm more and more foreign because I go back and I listen to all these slangs that I used to know, but now I don't know anymore and I need like 5 seconds to process what it means, or I'll listen to like new slangs that I don't understand and I feel just like I'm an outsider and people treat me like an outsider as well.
I guess like what I find the most comforting, and I know that like not all of our listeners are Christian, but you know this is just what I find comforting, is that I know that I am a child of Christ, I am a child of God. That is where I belong. That is where I find fulfillment and purpose. And if I ever feel like I'm struggling with my identity, culturally, I always know that I have a real home in heaven and in the presence of Christ. So that's just my little spiel.
After 40 years, yeah.
40 years, what?
Nah, 50 years. 50 years? Nah, 70. I don't know. No, I meant like after 60 years, you'll be back home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I came to New Zealand 2015. It is 2020 now. Whoa!
2015?
Yeah, I came in year 8.
And you've never been to New Zealand before that?
Oh, no, we came for, like, holidays and stuff because my grandparents and my cousins live here. And my aunts and uncles. I see. So I was kind of familiar with New Zealand culture. So even growing up, I watched a lot of Australian TV shows like High Five.
Mm-hmm. No wonder your accent's so fucked up.
Yeah, I don't even. Oh.
Don't learn from the Aussies. We don't have any Aussie like listeners right now, so it's kind of all good to talk.
Oh, we really don't. We can fully rag on them. First of all, we invented Pavlova. Pavlova is ours.
Yep.
That's just how it is. and you just have to live with the truth sometimes. Speaking of the truth, would you have told Nai Nai that she had cancer?
Me?
Yeah. Like, do you believe that she should have been told? Is probably a better way of phrasing the question.
When the movie first started, I was like, how the fuck can you not tell her? Like, why would you not? That's a lie. How can you lie to her like that? It's a serious lie. But then I kind of like got in halfway of the movie and I saw both sides of the argument. And I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. I see the point of lying to Nai Nai. Then I asked like the boys what they would do. And then Sean was like, I'll tell her, of course. And then you get Hosea, which is from Korea. That's like, why would you tell her?
Yeah, yeah.
So I found the argument really interesting. It's like, what Hosea said was interesting. His argument is basically like, by telling Nai Nai that she has cancer, you're basically telling her, oh, you're going to die. So like, we're just telling you that. See you now. It's kind of like that because people at her age are going to give up once she hears this news. So like, it's better not to tell her. That's what he said. And he said he knows people, like his neighbor has done that. And the person that has cancer is still living after 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sean's argument was like, oh, they might have something, like, they might have things they want to do. And like people to make peace with and stuff like that. Bucket lists to do.
Yeah, and it seems like such a crazy idea, you know, just not telling someone, but it's actually really common. I know someone who's doing that right now to a father, her elderly father.
Legit,
yeah.
In New Zealand?
Yep, and they're an Asian family, though.
Wait. Can you do that? I thought it was, like, illegal here.
I don't know if he has cancer. I do know he's very sick. I don't know very many details. But I was talking about this movie to my parents, and my dad was fully like, if it was me, just tell me. I want to know. And I agree, like, if it was me, I would fully want to know that I was diagnosed with cancer, or like that I was expected to die quite soon, just so I can make peace and make sure my faith is strong. You know, all that, and get my affairs in order. I would want to know. But I don't know if I would tell. And by the end of this movie, this movie didn't tell me if I should have told.
Yeah. I think it depends on the person that got cancer as well. Like, how their will is, I see. Like, I think.
Yeah, because...
Like, if it's strong enough, then maybe you can tell.
Yeah, because some people, if you tell them, then they'll be like, okay, let's go. Let's get everything settled. We're fine. I'm going to live the rest of my life to the fullest, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to make peace, and I'm just...
Which is not a bad idea.
Yeah. But with some people, they'll fully just give up. They'll be like, okay, I'm about to die. There's no point in doing anything anymore. Oh, my dad said something really funny. He said, if I'm about to die, will you tell me? Then I can really enjoy myself and eat heaps of fish and chips because it doesn't really matter anymore. And then my mom and I were laughing.
Is he restricting himself from fish and chips?
He is, and he's lost so much weight. Oh my gosh.
I feel so bad.
But
how can you restrict yourself to food?
Because he wants to be a healthy, skinny legend.
Okay, I respect that.
Yeah, I respect that too. And he's doing actually really well. But my mom and I were laughing because we said, what if you end up surviving and your body's just fully, like, unhealthy? You just made, like, the rest of your existence miserable and, like, uncomfortable and painful.
What if you survive but die of obesity?
Yeah, like, what if you thought you were going to die of cancer? So you're like, okay, cool. My last, 2 months, fish and chips every day, let's go. And then you end up living for 10 more years and you're like, dang it, my liver, my kidneys, my metabolism.
Is it really that good? like really that good to spend the last month of your life spending all your money doing what you want?
I really don't know.
Like, what if you actually survived, but you sold your house to go on a trip?
I reckon when you're old, you should just enjoy life. Just enjoy your retirement. Don't really bother saving. That's like, don't true. Bother being thrifty. Just, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
If you were smart pre-retirement, you should be able to just let loose during retirement, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
And that does that include like health stuff? No, I want to be a really fit grandma. My goal in life, but I hope by the time I'm old, I will be one of those grandmas that like runs past young families, and then the children look at her and they're like, "Whoa, look at that grandma!" And then they like stop to have lunch, and then the grandma comes running back down the mountain. That's yeah, me. I'm the grandma.
Yeah, I want to run past families. In my wheelchair.
Skr-skr.
That's what I want. But back to the whole conversation. If it was me, I would want people to tell me, to be honest.
Mm.
But would I tell? Would I tell?
Would you tell?
If it was my mom. I probably tell my mom, but if my grandma were to get cancer right now, I feel like my family won't tell her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like it.
Hmm. Yeah, I have no idea. Shall we move on?
Hmm. Hmm, yeah. But that was the constant battle of Billy and her family with the question of, should we tell her? But all her family were like,
no.
别告诉他.
Hey, I was just about to show off my pronunciation too. But didn't you want to compare this movie to Crazy Rich Asians? I think that's a yes. really interesting comparison to make. And I think it's a very fair comparison to make.
I'm not comparing that. Well, obviously, Billy's like poorer than Nick Young. But that's not the point here. It's like both movies tackle the issue of American Chinese versus Chinese. But The Farewell does it so much better than Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians doesn't feel Singapore. Oh, does it?
It doesn't.
It's definitely not the Singapore that I grew up in for a little while. It's... But then again, like, a movie about Hollywood, like, the really rich Hollywood life. Would you say that feels American?
Nope.
It's so
just showing you like the 1%.
But I think what's really interesting, like when you contrast these two movies, is that Crazy Rich Asians, it like shows you how beautiful Singapore is, and it makes you really want to go there. It's like a 2-hour long like commercial for Singapore, basically, you know, with the lights, basically. The flowers, and it's so pretty, and the food looks amazing. Oh my gosh! And like it looks so, it makes Singapore look so desirable. And then The Farewell, uh-huh. It's much more it's a much more realistic portrayal of China. It doesn't try to glorify China. It's not being like, oh my gosh, look how pretty it is, how cool it is. It's because the tone of the movie is much more
dark, grey,
dark, solemn, sober, distant, maybe.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I don't really know what to say about that, but.
But I think. Because American Chinese. Crazy Rich Asians, they always like, right from the get-go, they're like, oh, you're American Chinese. You think differently from they do.
Mm.
But then, wait, what was her name again?
Constance Wu's character's name was...
The Crazy Rich Asian girl.
Not Lucy, what's her name? Rachel Chu.
Yeah, Rachel Chu. Rachel's mom was like, oh, you're American Chinese. Your skin's the same or something like that, but you think differently from they do. But then she arrives at Singapore with everyone having a British accent. Like, okay, yeah.
So do you Chinese, really yeah, nah. think differently than they do? Not yeah, really.
Exactly.
There's definitely a difference there, but they don't really go into that.
Yeah, instead of saying Crazy Rich Asian was trying to portray American Chinese versus Chinese, it's more like poor people versus rich people.
Yeah. Oh, no, I just thought of something, because in Crazy Rich Asians, they do talk about... well, they do tackle that, actually, because Nick Young's mum, Eleanor, her whole reason for... One of her big main reasons for Nick not want... Her not wanting Nick to marry Rachel is not just that she's not good enough, it's she's not good enough because she doesn't understand how to make sacrifices for family. She's like, Rachel, you're too American. You're too much, you're too like individualistic. You don't care about how the community thinks of itself collectively rather than as a group of individuals.
Yeah. Yeah, she does mention that. But I feel like those points were weaker compared to, oh, you have a shit family background.
It's kind of there, because you know how when Rachel, rejects, no, she doesn't, she says no to Nick's marriage proposal the first time, that's her saying that she cares more about Nick and Nick's family than herself. So she's showing Eleanor that she knows how to value community. So it's actually kind of there, if now I think about it a little bit more.
Oh yeah, now you mentioned it. But I still think it's more like they only dabbed on the topic, then actually go in deep with it.
In what ways do you reckon The Farewell went deeper into it?
They actually show, like, the conflict of Billy herself and, like, the argument between, like, during the dinner time between the American family, the Japanese family, and the Chinese family. They had, like, a whole fight about it. And, yeah.
I really liked that fight scene. That was a really well-shot scene. And I'm just gonna, like, go off onto a slightly, like, different topic. Still about that scene. But, I was listening to Lulu Wang's interview, and she was talking really interesting stuff, about how they did, like, all those wide shots, you know, instead of, like, heaps of angles and, like, coverage and, like, close-ups. And those wide shots, it really shows you that you're meant to think of this family as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's, like, singular versus unit, and then they're, like, part of it was practicality, because they had a 24-day shooting schedule, and they decided to go for those big wide shots instead of, like, cutting heaps.
Yeah.
And also, it makes it feel more theatrical, because the characters are performing for the grandma. I'm just looking at my notes, and they decided to do, like, those wide shots instead of, like, figuring out and editing. But yeah, that's just more stuff on thinking of it as a whole. Yeah.
I see. But the fight scene during the dinner time was interesting.
It really was.
Because it was kind of like Billy's auntie that lives in China trying to diss America. But also, she's trying to send her son to America.
Shame.
So her argument was basically like, oh, Billy should come back to like China. It's like so easy to like earn a million here. And then Billy's mom was like, oh, Billy doesn't care about money. Money isn't everything. And then Billy's auntie was like, oh, well, you can't say that because, well, who doesn't like money and stuff like that? And then Billy's mom got mad and was like, If there's more chances in China, why are you sending your son to America? And then she was like, oh, so he can have more chances.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah, it's It's a little bit of what the fuck.
I love that scene. It's so good. It's so like accurate to how Asians fight as well. There's no, yeah. It's not like heaps of yelling. It's just very direct, but
it's almost more like fighting on like a spiritual level.
Yeah.
Like with all like the who can say the harshest word in the calmest voice, and looking at them with the death stare.
So
but,
good.
But the argument, I think it's a common thing in Chinese culture as well, because whenever people go out, there's always going to be that family member that doesn't approve of it.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that scene.
I can relate to that scene as well.
But then you know that living out side of their country is better because people move out for a reason, you know. And I do believe that after moving out, your values will change, and money isn't like a core factor for jobs after a while. At least not as much as you would be in China. Because in Chinese culture, it's always like, oh, doctors, because they earn the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that doctor scene was really funny, though. I'll just, like, quickly say, like, they're like, oh, the doctor in the UK, oh my gosh, he's so handsome. And, like, that was really funny.
Yeah. Because he's got the perfect resume for, like, as a husband, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's been abroad, he looks handsome, he's tall, and he's a doctor. He's, like, the perfect guy.
And then she's like, Naina is like talking about that in Chinese, and then Billy's fully in English. She's like asking about her grandma's condition, and
yeah,
I thought that was kind of funny as well. Just like,
do you know about my Naina's condition?
How different it is.
But yeah, I think this movie tackled a lot about East versus West. Do you want to talk about individualism versus like a group?
Yeah. There was this one really good line in there that just hit a little bit different. The uncle, so that's Billy's dad's brother.
The one lives in Japan?
Yeah, the Japanese uncle. He says, what does he say? He says, you want to tell Nai Nai about her illness because it takes the burden off you, an individual. But we believe that we, as a community, are meant to carry that burden for her. I forgot the exact quote. And you want to tell her because it makes you feel better as an individual. But it is our responsibility to, like, bear the emotional burden for her.
Which makes sense in a way, I guess. But the way I see it, it's kind of like, kind of bullshit.
You reckon?
Yeah, because it's like, Billy doesn't want it. I guess Billy wants to tell Nai Nai so she doesn't need to bear the burden. But if it was me, I would want to tell my Nai Nai because first of all, she has the right to know because it's literally her life. So it's not just me trying to like, oh, I want to feel free again, so take this burden off me.
Yeah.
But I get that the uncle saying that they should help to carry this burden so Nai Nai doesn't need to like bear it by herself. But it's also like, who are you to make decision for your mom, you know?
Yeah. I reckon that's probably like the Western values in us speaking. I know. I still stand by, I want to be told. I would definitely want to be told. But
yeah.
I don't know if I would tell. I think I would. I would want to in most cases, I reckon. And I would in most cases.
I think the West, no, where Eastern culture is just like, oh, you gotta do everything for the family, yeah.
Which is also really good. It's also a really good way of seeing the world. And sometimes Western culture veers on being quite selfish.
I mean, it is your life, so like...
Yeah, that's true.
But I think you can view Eastern families of being too controlling in a way as well.
Yeah, because they want what's best, like what makes the family look best, or what serves the community best.
And same in Crazy Rich Asians. You can't marry Rachel. We can't be connected to this kind of family. It will make us look bad.
And let's end this very interesting discussion right here. I believe we're out of time, unless we turn this podcast into 2 hours per 2 hours. So, just to let you all know, we have an email. It is called 2hoursperhour@gmail.com. It will be in like the description box below. It's just the digit 2 and hours per hour spelled out in full. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We are available on Spotify. We're available on iHeart, Castbox, Google Podcasts, and we have an RSS feed and iTunes. Look how legit we are. Look at how widely we're distributed.
I would never have thought that I can distribute my podcast to this many platforms.
Do people use these other platforms, like, besides Spotify and Apple Podcasts?
They normally don't, but there's still, like, 5 people that use it, so we're included, alright?
Oh, yeah, those 5 people that use them, we love and we appreciate you. And what? Those 5 people that use the other podcasts, we love and appreciate you very much.
We do. Love you guys. Big shout out to people in Spain, Colombia,
that's
good. Poland, America. Did I say Spain already?
You have said Spain.
Peru, I think. Indonesia, Korea, India.
Taiwan,
but that's just me. Yeah.
And good old Aotearoa.
And Wellington. Yeah.
And Tauranga.
You know, Wellingtons aren't the best, but we love...
It's not just Aucklanders listening to us. There's people from the Coromandel, I think, and the good old South Island. Oh, no, actually, I don't know. I think so. I forgot our stats.
next week, we'll be doing Uncut Gems. Oh no! Wait!
We have to rate the farewell out of 10. You go first.
Oh my gosh. Who?
Out of 10, you go first. You go first. Because I'm a scam.
I would do seven.
Same. I kind of hate rating movies because I feel like I'm really inconsistent. But
I feel like I'm really biased when I come to rating.
Same. But I think this movie. Definitely above average, definitely very good directing, very good acting, very good screenplay. It's an excellence.
Yeah.
Better than achieved, better than a merit. It's solid excellence. Is it, it's definitely an E7. Is it an E8?
Maybe we should give it to Foster.
Maybe it's an E7.5. Yeah, Mr. Foster, if you're listening to us. Maybe it's
an E8.5. Oh. E8.5. Okay.
That's pretty spicy. Next week we're going to be doing Booksmart. Cool beans. And if you have suggestions for movies you want us to cover, whether that be like more blockbustery movies or more like critically acclaimed
movies.
Art house movies... If it's a movie worth discussing, it is a movie worth discussing. And with that, good afternoon and goodbye.
Goodbye.